Oh my gosh, After Buzzers. It is the finale of The Magicians. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get started.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, it's the end?
Went by so quickly.
What?
Went by so quickly.
I know, it did. It's just like, and we're done.
Man.
Oh. But time flies when you're having fun, right?
It's not over.
Yeah,
not
over.
There's more to come.
And there will be a season three, so.
We know that, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Did anyone else get the sense that, like, they were gearing toward just ending the show? There are many times I'm watching.
Really?
Not just in this final episode, I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. Like, you could end. Like, if the series got canceled.
Oh, sure.
You could totally end right
here.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. I felt that way about Incorporated, and it did. I was like, they could end it here, and it'd be fine.
Oh, well. So, Hey guys, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And quick shout out to Espionage Cosmetics. I wore my fairy nail wraps today because, you know, it's the fey ending. I'll have more photos of it. And
good times. Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
I'm Ty Matthews. Y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA.
Hi, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow, and that's MSADRIANSNOW.
Woot woot. How do we feel after the finale?
I felt good. My God, this episode was fascinating. Like, there's so much crammed in this one episode, and it was
so much
fun and awesome.
And this song also, I love kind of the overlaying of this over all of the kind of the all is lost at the end of this episode.
Yes. Yeah. I was digging this song. That's why I was like, oh, we need to find this one. What did you think of the ending?
I loved it. I felt overall the season was a lot to cram in. And
yes.
I wish I got to spend more time with some characters. But overall, I did enjoy the season finale, yeah.
Yeah, this season definitely jam-packed so much into it, especially this finale. So let's talk about it. How much did you enjoy the narrator? Let's recap all of season one and two.
I love it.
Switched over to Umber.
Ember.
Mm-hmm. We've been saying Umber for the past.
No,
two
I think the one doing the narrating was Umber.
I wrote down Ember.
It's Ember.
Ember's the one that lives in Fillory. Umber's the one that created Cuba.
Yeah. Ember's chaos, and he was narrating the whole chaos story.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I loved it. Just because I think it's just fun when there's like a random narrator.
I like that it gave us rules to kind of what he was able to do as a god. Like, he couldn't stop a kid, but he could set up a number of traps to guide people into doing what he wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
He's almost like a trickster god. Because even with, there was that one little seedling of Quentin giving his blood to that woman and them being like, This will come up later. I was like, oh, thank goodness, because I wasn't sure.
I picked off the river god so he'd be extra mad at Penny. I was like, no! Oh, my God.
The candy witch, oh, my gosh. I was so satisfied with that because when that episode happened, I'm like, this needs to come back. This can't, like...
That can't be the end of it.
Don't worry. That comes back into play.
Yes. I always love when things get meta, when things kind of break the fourth wall. I love that.
I like that this was kind of like the writers talking to their audience. It felt like a personal letter from the writers through a character, and that was a lot of fun.
The line of it was for maximum entertainment. Oh, and guys, we have a very special guest with us. Hello and welcome.
Hi, guys. You guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
We have the music playing, and there we go.
We got Mr. Rick Worthy, Dean Fogg himself.
Yes, thank you. I'm not wearing the right hoodie. I got my Star Trek hoodie.
We support all fandoms here.
It's all right. Q is a big fan of it, so it fits.
There you go.
Can I? I can't see you guys. I know you can see me though, right?
Yes, we can see you.
How can I? Okay, I'm doing this for my cell phone. How can I see you?
I don't think that you can.
Not really.
Studio, but we're here. Oh.
It's a two-way mirror kind of situation.
We should live stream it on the
If you have another device, you can look at the YouTube on that. Otherwise, not so much. Oh,
nope.
Connection issues.
Skype.
Oh, gosh. Oh, goodness.
Oh, no.
Get back to us, Dean Fogg. We need you now more than ever.
They're gonna try to call back again, guys.
You're our only
So let's. Then we have the danger of sublimated drama.
Sublimated.
I thought that was an interesting line. And then he's like, "That's the theme of our show." Yeah.
Sublimated trauma.
Yes. Sublimated drama. That's what it was.
Trauma.
Trauma with a T.
Trauma.
Trauma.
Oh, I was reading. Oh,
There we go.
We got a hat on.
Nice.
Welcome back.
I actually, you know what? I had enough time to run and get this hat. So there we go.
Woo!
There you go.
So
yeah.
How has the experience been?
Can you see the break bill thing on there? And you know,
yeah. With the key and everything. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it works. How are you guys?
Oh, good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I'm okay.
It's all right. We'll keep it. We won't keep you too late.
Slot.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
How has the experience been going from season one to season two?
Oh, man. First of all, let me just say thanks for letting me be on your show. And I don't know if you've had any other cast members on the show. I know you had a couple of our directors on your show, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arjun Gupta came and stopped by, and then Flick Pitwick, whose real name is
Rizwan Manji.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Sergio as well.
And Sergio. Two great,
Two awesome guys, two great actors. And I think I saw your episode where you had Josh.
Yeah, we've had Josh a couple times.
And Ellie Smolkin as well.
Yeah, Ellie.
Right, Ellie, the brilliant, brilliant DP. I don't know if you guys know this, but the Dean was supposed to die in the pilot. In fact, he does die in the pilot.
Mm.
And when we finished pilot, Sarah Gamble and John McNamara, our co-exec producers, showrunners, they came up to me and they said, we know you die in the pilot, but we like you. So we might try to find a way to, if we get picked up, to go to series, we might find a way to, you know, maybe keep you around. So it all sort of happened. It's really just a blessing from God that that the Dean is still around and a presence on the series. And I was just more than elated to be a part, because I love it. I think it's a great series.
Nice.
It's an excellent series. Yeah. I'm glad that you did stay around, because I feel like the kids would be lost without the guidance of the Dean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I'd be lost without them. So, season one, to get back to your question, that season one was, about the discovery of magic, that magic is real. And season two completely, we took it to a completely different level of fillery and gods and talking animals and, you know, all these amazing, amazing things. And I just watched the finale actually about 2 or 3 days ago. And what I decided to do was not to read the final script. I just wanted to sort of just be surprised. I read the scenes that I was in and I kind of quickly scanned the whole thing. And long story short, I was knocked out. I thought it was terrific. You know, I know people probably had a lot of questions about the ending, but I think season two really delivered.
It truly does. It's magnificent. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, when you came back after the pilot, you were blind. What were there any challenges in basically just acting without your sight?
Yeah, I mean that's a very interesting observation because we were trying to figure out Sarah and John and I were trying to figure out well can the Dean see anything at all?
Mm.
Like, is he completely 100%, you know, in the dark? Can he see anything at all? And what we decided to do was, you remember back in season one where I'm in my office and I'm trying on all the different sunglasses?
Yeah.
I'm trying on and basically the sunglasses are enchanted sunglasses.
Ah.
And they have a bit of magic in them, which allows me to see just a fraction of anything. For example, I can probably see the outline of your face, but I can't tell what color your hair is or your eyes or anything, but I know that you're there, but just a bit, you know, maybe 3-4% of anything. And so I said, okay, well, we can do that. Then I can sort of, I know kind of how to play him. You know, he walks with a certain degree of confidence around his office because he knows his office and he kind of knows the outline. He should know the general outline of, or the outlay of the break bills grounds, but that's kind of pretty much it, you know? So he sometimes needs a little bit of help. And I didn't want to play him completely 100%, 100% in the dark. But as you see at the very end of this season finale, you know, all the magic is, so, Yeah, and that affects his vision as well.
We have a live chat. We had a couple quick questions. Cynthia says, if you could have any magic specialty or power, what would it be?
Man, I've been asked this before, and I would have to say I would love to be able to time travel.
Heck yeah.
Like, I would go back, you know, back to the beginning of it all, you know, 200,000 years ago at the beginning of human life, human species as we know it, in our forms as we know it, these bodies now. Human life began approximately 200,000 years ago. I would love to be there at the beginning of that. I would go back to certain key significant points in history, the times of Jesus Christ. I would go back to the 60s, the 40s, and the 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, I particularly love those decades. We need about 6 hours. There's a lot that I would love to see. So, yeah.
And then another question, kind of off of Joelle's question. Darius says, how was it acting with those weird glove things? And were they heavy and as uncomfortable as they look? And they
love
your
really
look.
Hard. Yeah, good question. It was really hard to pee with those on. I mean, you know.
Of course.
You know, you're shooting for 2 hours, and then there's a bathroom break, and you have to have someone come take your gloves off so you can go relieve yourself. So, just try not to drink a lot of coffee and water on those days. So,
now
did you guys like the gloves? Did that work for you or no?
Yeah, they look cool.
I dug it, absolutely. Well, and that kind of leads into, I wanted to ask a little bit about the sort of the style of the show and the style of, you know, a lot of the outfits we wear. One thing I'm paying homage to right now, I've got a Trinity knot tied in my tie right now because I've noticed a lot of interesting ties, especially that you've worn in the show.
I wish I could see this. This is amazing.
I'm gonna have to
go online tonight and rewatch this whole thing because I would love to see your Trinity knot. I bet it's really cool.
Absolutely, and I wanted to, and you know, we see Dean Falk. He wears what's called a cape knot. Throughout the course of the show, how much input do you have on kind of the style of Dean Fogg?
Oh man, I got to tell you, there's, you know, I've been doing this since I just turned 50 last month, and I've been acting since I was 20. And I got to tell you, there's a few, you know, in an actor, if you're lucky to have a career, number one, that's great. You're lucky to have a few characters that, you know, literally, and maybe a handful that you really love a lot and you're blessed to have in your custody. For me, Dean Fogg is definitely in that short list. I love him as a character, and one of the things I love about him is how he dresses. And we were talking about at the beginning of the pilot, Magalie, our wardrobe designer, she's just brilliant. And she said she wanted me to stand out from every other character on the show. And the way to do that was not just wear cool suits, but have some really cool tie knots. So I said, okay. So she showed me all these different designs, and I had honestly had never seen them before. I'd maybe seen a couple. Mm-hmm. But long story short, she said, we're going to do the Trinity knot. We're going to do the Taurus knot, the Linwood Taurus. We're going to try a couple of different ones, and then you pick which one you like, you know. So I thought that was really cool. And I now have taught myself how to do the tie knots, and I can do it in 2 minutes, you know. Wow. So, but the first time I learned how to do it, it took me about almost an hour because they're so tricky.
Right, definitely.
Yeah. But it's a really cool kind of stamp for the Dean, you know, because he's so unique and so, you know, a guy who taught himself magic at the age of four. Well, that's a very unusual person, you know, and I think he sort of kind of stands alone, you know, in terms of magicians. There's a lot, just to sort of dovetail, there's a lot. I'm hoping for season three that we get a chance to see him do more magic. And because he can do some really cool shit.
I was going to just a comment on that because we do kind of get to see a different type of Dean Fogg this season where we get to see him interact with like past loves and stuff. Are we going to have more encounters with him like as he is as a person and not just as a guidance to the students in season three, do you think? Can you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you. I really hope so. I don't know what direction Sarah and John and our all of our wonderful writers are planning to go. But I'm really hoping that there's a chance to see kind of more of the three-dimensional side of him, you know. And I think one of the things that I loved about season two was Bigby and the sort of very surprised, you know, romance that he has with this pixie.
Yeah.
And I remember they called me and said, we're going to give you like a girlfriend love interest in the show. And I was like, really? Oh, great. And I thought it was just hilarious, man. It was so funny. And you know, she's a 500-year-old pixie and she loves sex and she loves, every time we get in the same room, the energy is just, the chemistry is just, you know, electric. So there's a part of Henry Fogg that people don't know about. And I think it's really cool to see Quentin, and Alice react to that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want more of that. Just a bit more of that would be nice. And I would love to see some alternate timelines in terms of how different, not only just the Dean, but other characters, how they behaved, you know. Yeah. And I think one of my favorite episodes is when, just 2 weeks ago, when Julia is admitted to Break Bills, mm-hmm. and then we get a chance to see that version, and then we juxtapose the next version where, you know, the one that we all know where she wasn't. And that was really, really cool to see not only the two different Deans, mm-hmm. but the two different Julias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely really enjoyed that episode and seeing that. So I'm trying to find the name of it. There we go. Marissa says, what drew you to wanting to play the Dean?
What drew me? Probably about 12, 14 years ago, maybe. Man, I'm really showing my age now. about 12 or 14 years ago, I did a procedural show for John McNamara that he wrote and created called Eyes. It was about private eyes. Mm. It was on ABC starring Our Lady of the Underground, Garcelle Bouvet. Yeah, she's an old friend of mine and such a sweetheart and a great actress. And I was so happy that she was doing Magicians for us. She's great in the series. But we, Garcelle and I and Tim Daly, we were all in about four or five other actors from New York and Los Angeles. We were on a show called Eyes on ABC, and it was about these sort of private eyes, you know, and they're really cool, and they solve all your crimes, and, you know. And it lasted for probably about a year, and then they pulled us off the air. And there was a young lady on staff that was maybe 28, 27 years old, who was one of our writers. Her name was Sarah Gamble. Long story short, that was the connection. And Sarah, fast forward to the future, Sarah is, you know, got the, Sarah and John teamed up and decided to work together on Aquarius with David Duchovny, starring David Duchovny, and then also The Magicians. So, I mean, that's the, sort of the short, quick version of answer to that.
Oh, no, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people are commenting in the chat how much they did enjoy your wonderfully fun and awkward scenes with the pixie and that relationship.
It's weird when you first meet someone and then you have to, like, right away, you know, have that chemistry and, you know, mm-hmm. either make out or kiss or whatever, you know. So I know Jade and Arjun have had time to get a chance to know each other. So whenever they do their scenes, you know, it's very honest and real. I believe the actress's name was Sharon that played Bigby. I can't remember her last name. I'm sorry, Sharon, if you're listening. Sorry. But she and I had never met, and I thought she was just great. And I said, hey, whatever you want to do, you're the boss. You tell me, you know. So she said, hey, let's just go for it, and let's see what happens. And, you know, after about four rehearsals, we finally looked at each other and said, we got it. We got the chemistry, you know, and it's time to put one, you know, in the can. So she was a real champion. Yeah.
What has been your favorite moment or situation or story from season two?
Oh, man.
You personally.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said you personally, not what happens in the episode, more behind the scenes or, you know, acting out a scene.
I would love to first say I love all this. I'm going to say, let's just talk about the storytelling. I love what happens in Fillory. I think it's like anything can happen there. And I love seeing Elliot and King Idri have this romance. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was really, really cool. The actor who plays Idri is an old friend of mine from Chicago. Like, we did theater back to 25 years ago, you know, together back in Chicago. So he sent me a message and said, "Hey man, I'm going to be on your show. I'm so excited." I thought that was just a blessing. It was a blessing. It was great. All their scenes worked out great and very believable. And I think they're just, you know, it's great casting. I think we're blessed with really, really terrific casting directors, and they pick out some terrific actors. Off camera, I would say partying with Arjun is probably my favorite thing. Well, you know what, the thing about Arjun is that he likes to have fun, and I'm sort of, I told him, I said, "Man, I was you like 20 years ago. You know, now I'm kind of settling down. I like to get home and take my dog out and, you know, watch CNN, you know." So, but he's really sort of pushed me to kind of, you know, break outside of my shell and have a little bit of fun. So I told him, I said, my New Year's resolution for this year is, one of them is more dancing time with Arjun. So, nice.
Well, you mentioned...
all of them are just really not only talented, but I think they really have their feet on the ground, and you know, that's great. You know, where they are right now, you know, when I was 27, 26, 28 years old, man, they seem to have a grounding that's really, really, you know, feet on, you know, it's really terrific, and I hope they stay that way.
You mentioned dancing. Are you musically adept, and would you like to have a Break Bills musical episode of Magicians?
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
I mean, you know, come on now. The Les Mis, the scene from Les Miserables, yes. that was great. And last year, the Taylor Swift song that Jason did, I mean, that's to this day one of my favorite episodes of anything I've ever seen ever in my life or have worked on. So I love it, and I think John McNamara, you guys probably know this, he's a huge musical fan, so he loves musicals, and he said he's determined for each year that we get picked up, he's going to put at least one musical in. So
is there a standby musical number you would like to perform?
Oh man, I would love to do anything from The Wiz.
Yes, right on.
I mean, yeah, he's on down the road. You know, I mean, I'm ready to get up and dance now. Like, I would love that. Yeah, and it would be really, actually, that would be a really good song for the Magicians. Is "Ease On Down the Road." Yeah, "Ease On Down." I think I don't. People think that I can sing, but I can sing after maybe a few shots of tequila and, you know, maybe karaoke.
Yeah.
But in terms of singing, you know, I'm not a musical theater guy. I'm an actor. You know, I'm a straight pure actor. And I can dance. I can't sing. So, but I would certainly give it my best try, of course, you know.
Do you have any other projects you're working on that you can let people know about? I mean, obviously Magicians will have season 3, but anything else coming down the pipeline? Mm.
Yeah, I have been blessed to work on a show on Amazon Prime called The Man in the High Castle. You guys know that show?
Yes. Absolutely. I did that after show as well. You were great on that show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, cool. I play Lim Washington on Man in the High Castle, and it happens to be shooting in Vancouver as well as the Magician. So they were able to work out the schedule that I can really do both, you know. So I finished Man in the High Castle last summer, and then literally like the next day I'm on set for The Magicians, two completely different shows and two completely different characters. And we will start season 3 of Man in the High Castle in about three and a half weeks. And I can't wait to get started. I think it's going to be a really good season. Last season was a total mine. Can you cuss on this show or not?
Go for it.
Sure.
Last year was a total mind fuck. Yeah. I mean, big time. And or mind frack, bro. You battle frack. And I think this year is gonna be the same. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Cool.
Awesome. Got another quick question from the chat. What does the cast do for fun in between takes?
Oh man. Have you guys heard have you heard Olivia burp?
The what?
Have you heard Olivia Taylor burp?
No.
No.
What?
Well, a little bit in this episode.
Oh yeah, we did kind of.
It was fake, I think.
Okay, Jason and Olivia are the kings, and they're the king and queen of burping. They are really good at it. I think I'm not sure who's the best. I think Olivia might be the best, actually.
Wow.
Wow. Burping contest.
Yeah. We have fun in between takes and in between shots, and we're blessed to have a really relaxed, wonderful crew, you know. And someone told me that before we started season two, someone told me that I think Arjun had mentioned that we have like 99% of our crew returned from season one.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a great sign that people want to work on the show, yeah. You know, and like they are, they want to be around us. We want to be around them, and like all the chemistry and the connection is pretty perfect. You know, I've been on other series where, you know, you come back for season two and you don't recognize anybody, you know, and everybody's new, you know, so, you know, I mean, people love the show, and they enjoy what we bring to it, and I think they are really huge fans of the Magicians. So that's great. And I don't know if they're all coming back for season three. I hope so.
We're all huge fans of the Magicians as well.
Sure.
We're gonna get into a long breakdown of the show, but I was gonna say for when there's season three for Magicians, we'd love to have you back, and also for Man the High Castle when we'll do that show. You should come join us as well.
I would love to. I'm honored to be on your show, and I think you guys. I've seen some of your reviews, not only just for this series, but other ones, and you guys all are really terrific.
Thank you.
Have a terrific chemistry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Well,
thank you so much for talking with us, and we'll definitely reach out again soon for having you back on.
Thank you so much. I am getting ready to take my dog out for a little walk and kind of finally go to sleep tonight.
All right, we'll get some rest. Yeah, have a good night.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was awesome. That was great, fun stories.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love hearing the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
That's the best stuff for sure.
Let's jump back into what goes down. Allison Q and the again, why bring me back? And I love that he referenced like, you loved your brother, you tried so hard to bring him back.
Why wouldn't I get it?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And it's just, I imagine, yeah, that question gets harder and harder to deal with every time.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like it's a very unfair question because now she understands the opposite side of what it is to be a Niffin. Like, she gave up, but she just couldn't do it for her brother. And so she moved on. And so for you to drag her back into this, it's like, I get it, Quentin, but, like, pay attention.
Yeah, right. Totally. Then we get Penny right away, and then Cancer Plus with lesions on his spine.
Oh, boy. He's got 2 to 3 weeks if they don't crack the code.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't want to get too far into predictions, but do you guys think Penny dies and continues as a librarian, and that's our sole way of knowing him, or do they have a cure?
A cure? I think that because the lesions on his growths on his spine were magic based or spell based because there is no magic.
Oh,
those will at least be minimized.
So smart.
So if magic returns, there's possibility that the cancer.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Very nice.
Somebody on the chat, I don't forget who, but someone asked if you read the books because you're so good at knowing the show. And I was like, no, she doesn't. She's just that good.
I have not read the books. That's true.
Katie shows up and explains what happened about Renard, which was really interesting, but how she's not exactly happy. And, you know, she's like, that's just not how I wanted it. And I wish we could just fix it. And Penny's like, well, that's life.
Right. She doesn't get that satisfaction of like, no, but I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You get there's no satisfaction.
Exactly.
And majority of the
times it bees that way.
We got Julie and Elliot with her, how she's whole again, because we weren't 100% sure. I think we were all like, well, wait, what does that mean?
Once the shade returned, that she could be able to reabsorb
just
it.
Kind of
the shade was there, yes.
Right.
And then how Elliot asked for help, and then I love his, well, you're someone who doesn't take no. Take no very well. Their bonding was just so sweet then, because like, you know, she's all like, he's how you're attaching to that couch. I understand.
Right.
I didn't think she would. there's something to like the trauma of it and being able to kind of go so long without it, and then when you have to embrace it again, that you kind of have to relive it again. And I was like, oh, that's really heartbreaking. And I think they're in
what I like,
direction.
Oh my gosh, yes. Most about what the show is doing is it keeps reaffirming why Elliot is the High King. Mm-hmm. And a thing that I guess we, at least I never thought would happen when they named him High King. I was like, this is so weird. Like, Elliot's a cool dude, but I don't know if I want to like follow him. And now when you get to see him reaching out to his subjects and actually having like these conversations and really caring about people, it's kind of amazing to see the growth of his journey.
Yeah. Yes. And that's one of the things that I've loved is that from episode one, you kind of have all these preconceived notions like, oh, this is a story about Quentin. Mm-hmm. And so many times that shifted, and it's a story about all of these magicians in kind of equal shares, from Elliot being the king to kind of, not to jump too far ahead, but from Julia kind of being, you know, the one and only magician, natural magician.
Then we got Penny, Julia, and Katie getting together, and Katie not wanting to talk to Julia at all. Penny's like, I've read both of your books to Elliot, which is interesting.
Both volumes,
And just do something else to change it.
Yeah.
Which, that's cool of like, I know your plan, just don't do that.
Yeah. It's a little bit of that Sarah Connor that Sylvia was talking about. Yeah. No fate but what we make. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also feel like I would have been in hysterics and a little panicked because like, something else. Okay, this was a good plan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you start overthinking it. Like, wait,
what do I do next now?
But if I'm thinking about this, then that'll be in the book. So I should do this.
Yeah. Then we have the librarian of No Sympathy for Penny and Just Say Goodbye.
Totally valid
at all. No. Those librarians don't give a fuck.
She loves knowledge and not a damn thing
else. Librarians, like all librarians, are actual superheroes, and they do not have time for your personal petty bullshit. Like we have to save the world. Yeah. Okay,
they have a few things. Be quiet.
Right.
Do not speak above a whisper. Mm-hmm. Know what book you're coming for.
Return your book.
Get the fuck out. Return the book.
Don't,
and then get the fuck out.
Don't go in the restricted section.
Exactly. Yes.
That's she's kind of like, you went there.
Right. You deliberately went into a room called the poison room. Right.
Messed it up.
The previous librarian hit a kill switch and poisoned himself. So what do you think we got?
Pretty much. We get the Fillory, the fairy realm, and found Fen. They have taken her daughter. Now we know it's a daughter. I don't think we knew it was a girl before, did we?
I don't think we did. Did we?
No, we didn't know.
And then get to meet the queen fairy. So we get Margot and fairy queen.
Oh my god, queen to queen. Oh. Like if those two could go to war next season, which I mean, I'll be all down for it. Yep. Margot's shown herself to be a true tyrant when it comes down to like brass tacks. She's like, we gotta just do what we gotta do. And Fairy Queen clearly does it. She's like, oh, I don't make the rules. Psych, I do. Which was one of my favorite parts of this episode, to have two like super powerful, like epically bitchy women going at it. Like, oh, I'm so for that.
And she's like, P.S., let me get that eye. Like,
oh, boy.
Oh, the toll.
What are you going to do with that eye? Why did you need to take it?
Mean, it's right. It's literally
why
just the principles of
it. Why'd they take Fen's toes?
They're just petty. Oh, right,
petty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then speaking of that, then we get with Elliot and Q and how screwing up is inevitable as a ruler, which sucks. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Right.
Fillory needs you, which is so cute. The Florian contract, which Dean Vaughn was mentioning, who was so excited of the,
the banishment kind of invalidated it.
Oh, and that lighting was gorgeous. I was so happy. I was like, yay, happy moment.
Oh, absolutely.
It was super sweet. Then we get Margot comes back, and they're cute, funny, and kind of sad chat bonding thing of
it was so like endearing at first, but then when they reference it and they're like, we're trying way too hard to do this right now, like that made it so heartbreaking. Like, no, banter is what you do.
We don't need to
acknowledge that it's a defense mechanism, even though it clearly is.
What I like about this conversation is it reminds me of like if you've been friends with someone for a long time and you start realizing that you've like matured beyond a certain point and you're still trying to have these conversations that you used to have, like maybe early college or high school, it's hard because you want to revert back to that person, that comfortable state you were in, but things have changed as they have here. I hope they can keep it together because the way they want to rule is in a strict contrast with one another.
Oh my goodness, well, hopefully they grow together and not apart. Because that's a big thing about, like, I think about some of my past friendships. The thing is, sustaining a friendship for more than 15 years, which I have done, takes like understanding that we are growing different in different ways, but we're growing together.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can do the same.
Some good hashtags from the live chat room. So if you are watching this live, we still have a little bit of time. Join us. If you're not, comment down below on your thoughts on the finale. Renji says, hashtag Margot Fury.
Yes.
I like it. Yes. And Cynthia says, bedazzled eye.
Ha!
There we go. I love that they were beautiful. Sick. Yes.
That was very, very fancy.
Like they were all good. She had a whole bunch of them, too. I like that she instantly had a bunch of them.
Of course. You know. They're not going to waste any time. I did like Elliot referring to her as Bambi One Eye.
I'm a Cyclops. Or better yet, it's not my good eye, it's my only eye. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, Mark,
if Captain Jack Sparrow was played by a man.
Q with Umber, and he's like, let's go to Cuba. And that wonderfully awkward
I
world.
Love that. The pocket world formerly known as Cuba.
Yep.
Amazing.
And just everything is so, of course, everything is so kind of orderly and linear. Yeah. And
it's very linear.
What I like about Umber here is in the first time we see him, he doesn't feel like very godlike at all. And here, like, he's like, I have a temper. I was like, do you? This is fascinating.
Right. Yeah. That he line. He was scary. Especially. Right, because I how soft-spoken he is, like, normally, know it can flip all the way to the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and then we get the back-end fillery and kind of combining that, which that editing was awesome. They have the party, like it's the end of the world, could get Umber with
Happy
the... Get Umber.
Cakes.
Right, yes, of course, called that.
The with terrible orgy. Stuff. I threw better orgies at 10. I was like, oh, my God, no.
I know.
But like how he was surprised that Elliot was still there. He's like, oh, I like it though. Of like, it's different and improve it. But how'd you guys like the editing between Ember and Umber of the two scenes and like how they brought them
together?
How they
merged them? Yeah. I thought that was great.
Right.
You know, I thought that it was a very savvy use of Cuba and of Julia of kind of always having her be like the one that nobody's looking for, which is kind of mirrors last season where we just didn't expect her to have the god power. So, makes me also want to talk about something later. We'll get to that. But yeah, I overall like that. And I also just like the fact that I was right and that Amber had made a deal with Beast in order to.
There we go. Renji says to me, Margo and Elliot are kind of like Ember and Umber, except that they're just different kinds of chaos.
Very true.
Then we get the family reunion kind of thing, and how do we like that Ember kills Umber, and then Julia and Q team up, and Q does the final death blow to Ember.
Well, I liked that we did say they had a god-killing bullet, but the god-killing bullet just happened to be Julia. Like, it wasn't actually, you know, she had the actual spell that could encase any metal object with the power of a god to kill another god, and I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And just, and that kind of, that turning on a dime of when he's kind of relieved to see his brother alive, but you know the other shoe's gonna drop. And he's going to realize, like, wait a minute.
Like, you left me. Mm-hmm.
Something's up here,
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see him kind of show this, like, wrathful side for the first time. Like, everything else, even when he's destroying things and even when he's bringing about the apocalypse in his own world, he's still kind of doing it sort of, like, flippantly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this time, it's actual directed rage.
Yeah.
He's just there to have fun. I like their pitch the week. It was, like, a funny idea that they were, like, we'll pitch him like a fun chaotic world that he'll still enjoy watching.
They're just their elevator pitching a show to a producer. Yeah.
But like off the top of the dome, because they have no follow through with like how they're gonna do that.
Right.
Just foolishness.
Then we have they're godless heathens now, because now the gods are gone. Mm. We need a constitution and the Hamilton reference, which was fun. Maybe next season we get that as a musical
My heart
thing.
Stopped Could for a minute. Be. I was like, are we?
Right.
No, there's not enough time in this episode.
Well,
okay.
We did get confirmed that every season there will be some type of musical number.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, as they grow larger as a show, other musical artists will be like, yes, please use my song. Yeah.
Sure.
You know?
Hamilton's expensive, though.
Yeah, probably.
Imagine,
yeah.
That one's not going to be cheap. Right.
Maybe not that one.
So they afforded Les Mis, which also does not come too cheap.
Les Mis is old, though.
That's
shoulder.
Yeah. We get Q and Alice and Bacon.
Bacon
makes everyone happy.
Yes.
I'm just trying to do breakfast, Alice. Like, it's cool.
I kind of was just staring at the bacon that whole scene. I was like,
oh,
that looks so good.
I love when women eat on TV, because it's so rare. Usually, like, if you're a woman on TV, you're just kind of pushing your food around for a lot of different actual reasons, like you know, smacking inside a mic doesn't sound very good, and also different takes, and we got to redress the plate. Like, it's a lot, but it's kind of fun to see a woman just be like, break
it! in a very specific way. Her eating that bacon reminded me a lot of I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was the very first X-Men movie where Rogue kind of first eats the beef jerky the Wolverine gives her. It was like the exact same, like, it set off the exact same ASMR kind of thing.
Well, it's great, too, if, like, the actress doing so well, like, you could see her salivating as she's smelling the bacon. She's like, yeah, I want some of that. And who else almost cried with their on? They're, like, wiping the hands and, like, why does this feel good?
Right.
And I was just like,
yeah, I love that. I got to give it up for Jason Ralph. His facial expressions for everything are just beautiful.
Sure.
So when he, like, kissed her and then he kind of pulled away and I was like, I appreciate this scene very much.
I like that we finally built, like, I feel like this was really earned. There's a...
Yes.
I won't mention other shows. There are other shows where I was like, I don't understand why the love is here, right here in this moment.
Right.
But this between alternate universe, her coming back and being like, I still love you, to all the work he's put in trying to get her back and help save her. It was just such a well-earned moment in this episode.
Even though it's not necessarily really the Alice that he knew. Like,
no.
Yes. Right. More, it comes from more from a place of, like, hunger than from, like, just pure affection.
Sure.
And he almost has to re-fall in love with her because it's a new person, isn't it? But yeah, their chemistry between them was so good and just sweet and awkward and cute of like, oh wait, we did the teeth click on our kiss.
The teeth click was so good.
Classics.
But like the honesty of that, it's like, all right, it's almost having to learn to kiss someone again. Of like, they don't have that. But then they get their fun pillow talk after and he's like, yeah, I killed a god. And she's like, you're funny.
BT no, dubs.
Really. And she's like,
you idiot. No. This moment was so well earned because I was like, we're saved, even though we were warned last episode that killing a god has consequences. And the minute Alice gives that look of like, no, and I was like, oh, no, wait, killing a god does have consequences. We just learned that.
Yes.
Shit, 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 shit. And then the reveal of what those consequences would be, like, they have parents. We know they have parents. We literally just saw this. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that he's a plumber, I was like, this is... Well, it's cool because I like the differentiation. Like, this is a Greek god. Like, his kid is like a Greek god. These are what early man knew. And so that's why they view, like, people as playthings. Like, the earth was young.
Yes.
They had people to, like, trick on and watch. It was like their TV show, their entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
The old gods are dealing with much bigger things. And the way he just strolls through with, like, that confidence.
The Super Mario of the gods.
Right? That's what I thought,
too. Oh, God.
But I also like the explanation that, you know, because we forget that Fillory was the place where all of the magic was coming from, like, from to Earth and to other places. And so the wellspring was powering it. And this plumber just came in and literally just turned off the wellspring.
There's just a switch that nobody can see.
We've been threatened this whole time that the wellspring would be turned off, and he just did it casually.
It's just nuts, man. It was
Speaking of bacon, real quick, chat room pointing out, Cynthia says that Arjun was live tweeting about how bacon can save magic and Alice. And Adam said Olivia tweeted that she was a vegetarian for 14 years before that bacon scene was shot, but no more. LOL.
Bacon wins once again.
Bacon destroys
Wins.
A lot of vegetarian.
Then we have the real quick little scene with Katie and I'm totally blanking on what her name is. What's the other character's name?
Marley Matlin.
Harriet.
Harriet. Mm-hmm. There we go. I thought it was an H. Have Penny be your mole, and it's like, he'll just tell me stuff, I'll tell you. You'll be a shitty girlfriend. But I saved his life.
Right.
Checks and balances. It's all good. So yes, exactly. We got the plumber, and then wait, is magic really gone? That's a good question.
But then also there's a scene with Alice and the Niffin.
Yes.
The fire.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who comes back and warns her that, like, somebody's coming after you.
The lamprey.
The lamprey. Yeah.
Because apparently the absence of magic is only the absence of magic from things who are powered by the wellspring.
Yep.
So
that,
all those other unicorns, they all still exist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Vampires, dragons.
Yep. Right? If we have the Margot and Elliot thing. Oh, Fen is back, but just to warn you about the fairies, and then, oh shit, they're already here.
Well,
and totally called it on a separate plane, y'all. Fourth dimensional beings.
I really like two things. I like the shots of the fairies outside and, like, preparing for war and, like, feeding the castle.
Shit.
Yeah, with the two ones floating to be like, just so you were clear, they still got magic. Y'all are screwed.
Yeah.
But I also had to wonder, like, why? Not why come and take over the castle, but, like, why even, like, line up your people outside? Like, this is ours now.
Right.
Just appear.
We were powerful. We were twice as powerful than you before.
Yeah.
Now this is, like, not, like, get out of my castle. Like, I don't know why you're still here.
It's
like,
their castle. Like, in another world, it's in their dimension, that is their castle. They could have just, like, popped in and be like, well, we're taking
And why
it.
Do you need it in the other dimension, though?
What's that?
Why do you need it in theirs and ours?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
We have the... Oh, the only last little other bit is that Julia can maybe still sort of do magic.
So,
Go for
okay.
it.
Okay.
You're ready.
I think this is because at one point, or at two points in her life, she has been God-powered.
Yes.
When Reynard raped her, and she had the God power. Mm. And then when her shade was ripped, it was ripped because the baby or the embryo or whatever you want to call it, the god, the demon, had like wrapped itself around her shade. So when her shade was put back in, she still had a little bit of that god on her, which is why I think she's god powered, and which is why she still has magic.
She also,
good theory.
The Our Lady, when she says like, look, this is your decision to make. I feel like they now have a god in their corner. Like, you spared my children. So now we've got one god mad, like, you killed my kids, and another god who's like, you spared my child.
Oh, yeah.
True. So I wouldn't mind seeing, like, all-powerful deity war. Like, wow, really cool. I also have one question going back to the fairy scene and the queen.
Yeah.
The queen sends Margo back to do what? Like, Margo's like, I gotta go back. Like, but why
to take care of Fillory and get rid of? Oh, she wants Margo to go back to get rid of Umber and take care of that.
Right, because she said it would be mutually beneficial.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Which is why she gave her the, the special weed. Yes. That.
But
the bait. Yeah.
Do you guys think that she knew that they would kill the god, and that is what? And she was like, "Great, they'll kill him, and then we'll have."
It was probably because I think fairies are tricksters. We kind of talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. How, so by killing Umber. That allowed for them to break through to the dimension completely.
Ah,
which
that
is
could
why
be
I think they were able to come through.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but as the says, to control the whole realms. So as in they want to do it to control all of them.
Sure.
And just go to the library.
Monopoly on the realms.
Right. Okay. So any other moments we didn't talk about?
I
think that kind of covered it. All right.
Well, I don't think so. Yeah. I just love this plumber. Like, I'm really excited to see more of this plumber.
I also love that Breakbills didn't end just because.
Oh God, yes.
Just because there's no magic. That
ooh, still
the
practicing.
Dean is still there, and
they're theoretical study.
Yeah, they're still doing a study of magic, but now they just can't actually do a physical practice,
and,
which I appreciate.
And like we saw from Josh, they keep hearing kind of these rumors of like magic resurgences in like Kenya and other places.
Arizona,
Sedona.
Yeah, Sedona, exactly. Of course, it would be Sedona.
Totally.
Yes.
I really like that. I also like when the plumber is introduced, he's introduced the same way the Beast is in season one.
Right, exactly.
It was so titillating. I was like, oh God, it's another big bad, and I'm so ready. And now, like, oh man. At first, we're like, how do you fight the Beast? They were like, how do you, like, protect a world from the Beast? And now it's like, how do you fight, like, the oldest god?
Yeah.
All these poor kids have gone through so much.
And like,
quick thing though, are we everybody saying that for sure the plumber is their parent?
I don't think so.
That's what I'm hearing.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, he's just a guy.
I think he's literally just like a contractor.
I love
kind of the idea. It furthers the idea of like everything in this magical realm kind of being sort of similarly infrastructured to things on Earth, from like the underworld with like the waiting room and stuff like that, and the bowling alley, to now this like plumber walking around.
And I don't think they got rid of the magic just to be like, this is a punishment. Like, these are old school gods.
Right.
Like, if you think about the stories before Zeus, Zeus is a pretty like vicious god. Mm-hmm. The gods before him are like, we're going to take all your powers away, and then we're going to come in and slaughter you just for fun.
That's Cthulhu
shit. So that's
what
I think is coming up. I don't think it's something where it's just like they're doing it just to punish. I think they're making them like they're dropping the shield so they have no defense.
That's Lovecraft ancient god shit.
Somebody as Cynthia says, the parents are above putting their foot into the realms, so
that makes sense.
Putting their foot to the realms. So then someone was saying, is it because Helena says, so the reason for the blank books were actually from the magic stopping, or did they change the timeline?
They changed the timeline.
And then good point by Darius. With the wellspring gone to keep the dimension keep their dimension alive. Without it, they're stuck in Filler. So
they sure
without
are.
Magic, can Margo and Elliot jump between?
They cannot.
They're stuck.
Yeah.
So cool. Let's do some predictions for season 3. One of the huge things: what about magic and what happens with our characters? So let's do some quick predictions.
Super quick.
And now your AfterBuzz TV.
Last time that we hear that theremin for a while.
Unless you're doing another show.
I mean, well, yeah.
All right.
Anywho.
Anybody ready?
Man, I think that we're going to get to see some gods. And I love me some Greek-style gods.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a big part of, like, the humans versus the gods. And will the minor gods, like the Zeus's Aphrodites of the world. Oh, my God. Can we get Aphrodite? Can mm-hmm. I play Aphrodite? I'm available. will come in and be a part of it. And maybe they'll come to the defense and maybe they won't of the humans. And then mm-hmm. we get to see, like, the I can't think of the, what is it, the father, the god of time?
Oh, man.
Kronos.
Yes.
I feel like a Kronos or something like that.
Kronos well. Sure. would be so mm-hmm. cool.
Right?
I think somebody, yes, truly. Someone said Kratos as a character.
Ooh, oh, boy.
Also cool.
There's someone we're wondering in that first season three
all
production.
All right.
I'll take either.
Sure. Yeah, I think we will see that kind of, this sort of actual literal clash of the titans mm-hmm. and like the way we've seen other things manifested literally, we'll see it like whether I don't know it's like a boxing match or something like that, like something very literal where yeah. two people are legit just straight up duking it out.
Yes, I'm looking forward to them going back to old magic, and by that I mean you have all of these magically inclined creatures running around mm-hmm. who might be able to share or provide ooh, yes. actions for them. And if you look at like really 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 old magic, it's mostly like just naturalistic stuff, like it's healing and small mm-hmm. small things. Herbalism. And I would really like to see exactly. Mm. I would really like to see them trying to gain magic by doing like really old things and trying to get their powers back. I also want to see Alice try to do some like battle magic, but not. It's not going to be quite like the battle magic we've seen before. But she's got to protect herself, and so I'm wondering how that will manifest itself. If she, whether she entrusts herself to a creature who could maybe protect her, or if she finds some very human creative way to protect herself from magical beings. So that'd be really cool.
Old school spell casting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like this one. Renji in the chat. I predict we'll see Elliot and Fenn's daughter, but she'll be older.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
I think that'll be interesting if maybe I don't know, because if you're in the fairy realm, does their timeline go ooh. Different than ours?
Oh, style.
You know?
Mm, ooh. Love it.
Inception.
I like your theory a lot about Julie and why she still has power.
That's
and
really good.
I think magic will come back somehow, but I have no idea how. I like the idea that maybe there will be other gods, but we'll explore that differently. Because there's all the different realms, so I wonder how those would work and can Penny travel in those still at all?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he's in the librarian's area, so could he, like, you know, go out the door instead of, like, traveling and jump into a pool?
Yeah.
But is magic... Because is that magic connected to the wellspring?
Right. I don't think so.
Well, I think Umber made a mention of like how the librarians are angry at him. Somebody says something that the librarians are angry. So the librarians are separate.
So then maybe there's another way of magic with the librarians. Mm-hmm. And right. maybe there'll be more with the librarians because I feel we've had like a little bit. But oh my goodness, thank
that's
you so
it.
Much
that's
for
season
watching.
Two.
Season two. Woo!
Guys.
One last time, where can people find you and what other shows are you doing?
All right, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. You can also see me on Doctor Who on Sundays and potentially The Handmaid's something or other on Thursdays.
There you go.
Yeah,
y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. If you want to hear me talk about pro wrestling, sure, join me on Mondays for the Monday Night Raw after show and on the 30th, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday for the WWE Payback after show.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over to Black Girl Nerds Monday morning to check out my review of Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. Come back here to AfterBuzz tomorrow and see Powerless and Riverdale and Archer, which are great shows. And then, yes, please tune in for Handmaid's Tale. I'm so freaking psyched about the show.
I know, right? Oh my goodness. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And Sunday's Box Office Breakdown, where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend. Expanse finale is tomorrow at 5, and we may have some special guests in the studio. Then Handmaid's Tale is starting like the week after or so. Just follow my Twitter. It's going to be an awesome show. There's been great reviews about it already. I'm rereading the book, so then I'll be that. And American Gods is starting in a little bit, and then way a little bit is going to be Wynonna Earp. So if you guys are fans of that, we will be doing that. And another quick shout out, Espionage Cosmetics. They do nail wraps, guys. They're really cool. And get fairies. Get ready for the fairies for season 3. Thank you so much for watching. Thumbs up on the video. 5 stars on iTunes. You guys have been amazing. The chat room, we absolutely love it. All your comments have been wonderful as well. And thank you so much for watching. We'll see you around and see
next
you for
year.
Season 3. See ya.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.